loud.
Try.
Okay. This is 1 John 2, verse 28 to 1 John 3, verse 3. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves as he is pure. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, sweetheart. Great stuff. Wonderful. So, today's Father's Day. When I was growing up, my dad, big tall man, big bushy black beard, big hair, big black wiry hair, big deep voice, he was scary. He was scary. And he worked away a lot. He then tried to set up a business, his own business, and it was very, very stressful. And he was often quite frustrated and angry. And I later found out, only in the last 10 years or so, that we nearly lost everything, the house and everything, because the business didn't go quite as well as he'd hoped. But to me, as a small child, he was scary, he was angry, he was distant, he was not approachable, he was never happy. He was always working, had no time for us. And when he did come home, me and my mum and my sisters, we would try and make things nice and be a happy family, but it just wasn't really, it was very, very difficult. So when I became a Christian in my teens, I was very excited to receive Jesus as my saviour. I understood that. You know, I got that. I needed saving. I knew I'd done so many things wrong. I needed to be saved. I needed to be forgiven. And I knew that I needed the Holy Spirit to help me on that new path that God had put me on. A different path from the one I'd been on before. I knew I needed help to walk that path. I couldn't do it on my own. So I knew I needed the Holy Spirit to help me to do that. And then there was God the Father. And God is love, and I knew God is love, and I knew God loved me, you know, I knew all of that. That's his job description, isn't it? You know, God is love. He kind of has to love me. He has to. But did I really know how much he really, really adored me? Welcome. Please come and join us. Did he really love me for me? And over the years, God chipped away at my preconceived ideas of who he was as a father. I have had numerous prayer sessions about this, cried many, many tears about this, as I have come to realize who my heavenly father really is. Not the image of my dad that I kind of superimposed on my heavenly father, but who the heavenly father really is. He is a lavish father. He gives amazing good gifts to his children. We are his beloved children. He loves each one of us with such a passion, and he'd send Jesus to die for us. He wouldn't hold anything back from us. Do you remember Strictly Come Dancing, if you're a Strictly watcher, at any point in time? But you might remember Bruce Forsyth. And he used to present it. And he used to say to the couples as they came off the dance floor, and he'd have a little chit-chat to them, and he'd go, "You're my favourites." every single one, every single couple as they came off, then you're my favourite. And it became this little catchphrase. But God says to each one of us, you're my favourite. And it's okay, because we're all his favourite. Just by him having me as his favourite, or you as his favourite, or you as his favourite, doesn't belittle the fact that all of the others are also his favourites. He loves us all with such a passion. There's no diminishing his love. There's no limits on his love. I remember being pregnant with second child. Hello, wave. Hey. I remember being pregnant with Nathan. And my biggest worry at the time was how I could love my new baby as much as I loved my then 2.5-year-old. How could I love a new child when I had so much love for my daughter, Lillian, who's sitting here? Give us a wave. Lovely. I didn't want to love this baby, this new child, with a second-class love, you know, because I had plenty of love for my first one and they just got the rest. I didn't want to do that. And I didn't want to reduce my love for my toddler to give half of it to the new baby. I couldn't see how this was going to work, and it really bugged me. It really bugged me. I was really quite concerned about it. But as soon as Nathan was born, I realised something had happened. And 2 days in, I realised something had happened, and I understood what it was. And it was that my heart had grown twice the size. I didn't have any less love for my daughter. My heart had got bigger to enable me to love both my daughter and my son equally and with the same amount of love. It didn't diminish my love. My heart got bigger. And God has the biggest heart. He's got more than enough love to go around. As the reading said, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. He is close to us. He hears every word, every thought, every cry of our hearts. And he loves it when we want to know him more. He's a God of relationship. And he enjoys us learning more about him and growing in him. Just like an earthly dad or an earthly mom watches their little one doing something. You know, they're just putting blocks on top of each other and they're like, I'm so proud. I'm so proud. I'm so excited. They're learning about this. Oh, they're learning to walk up. I'm so excited. You know, it's not rocket science, but it's amazing. And God loves it when we're learning more about him and we want to come to know him more and we're making small steps forward and we're learning new things. He loves all of that. He rejoices over us. There is no father like our heaven. However good and wonderful your dad might be. Good dad. However wonderful your dad might be, there's no dad like our Heavenly Father. And if you haven't had a good dad experience, you've got an amazing Heavenly Father who just adores you and wants to know you and wants you to know him and wants to bring healing. I've found amazing healing. When we mess up in our lives, God is just like the good father in the parable of the prodigal son, the lost son. The father is watching for his child from the distance, watching, waiting for them to come back. And then he runs in an undignified manner towards his son. And this son, who hasn't seen for ages, who's dirty and who's smelly, and he throws his arms around him and he smothers him with kisses. That's how much our Father loves us, when we've turned away from him and then we come back to him. He loves us in an incredible way. He then orders the best clean robe. He orders the ring to be put on his finger, which is the family ring. He's back in the family again. Nothing can take that away from him. And it's just like us. And he orders a feast. Just like us, when we come back to God, God dresses us in robes of righteousness, as we've just been singing, and he puts the seal of the Holy Spirit on our finger, in our hearts. He, there's nothing that can take us out of God's family. And he rejoices in us. He has a feast over us. So how often do we really consider God rejoicing over us? You ever think like that? God is rejoicing over you right now. He's rejoicing over you. He is just like this card. Just enjoy this carefully selected card. And the joy of having me as a child. It seems a bit audacious, doesn't it? But you know what? God is rejoicing over the fact that we're his children. He doesn't go, oh gosh, they're praying again. Oh, they're wanting something else. He's rejoicing over the fact that we're coming and we're asking. He's rejoicing over the fact that we're talking to him. He's just rejoicing over us. He's rejoicing over us as we're just doing the dishes. He's rejoicing over us as we're lying in our beds going, oh. He's rejoicing in us when we see the rain. He's rejoicing in us when we are enjoying the sunshine, when we go on holiday, when we have a birthday. He rejoices over us because we are his children. He loves us. How do you see God? Do you see him as a loving father? Do you know how much he enjoys having you as a child? Many people have got very bad earthly father experiences. And if that's you, I would love to pray for you. I found incredible healing from that aspect of my life. I found God to be an incredible father. And there is healing and there is... There's a new path. So if you'd like to be prayed for at the end of the service, please come and have a chat to me. I would love to pray for you about this. To see a release in this and to see healing and knowing God as your Father. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. What we are, we're children of God. Even the slightly more greying and wrinkly ones about amongst us, we're still children. We're still children of God. What a status to be given. And he's given that to us. Now, the thing about being called children of God, there's two aspects to this. Part of it is a bit like having a badge. Child of God. Child of God. I am called child of God. That is my name, that is my responsibility, that is my status, that is my authority as child of God. But the Greek word kaleo is actually used as an invitation. And we are invited to step into that. We're invited to step in, we're invited, we're summoned. A bit like me summoning the family, dinner's ready, we're being called to come, you know, we're being called to come. To participate as a child of God, as a part of the blessings of the kingdom of God. And we have to make a response. So what does it actually mean for us to be children of God? Well, our Bible passage today reminds us what is required of God's beloved children. It said we must remain or abide, depending on the version you use. We must remain or abide or stay in the Father. We must stay in the Father. And it also talks about how, in two different verses, how we must practice righteousness and purify ourselves. Now, I like the bit practicing righteousness. I'm still practicing. I take a lot of practice, still working on quite a lot of things to do with righteousness. It does take practice. But that's the point. We all know we come to God as we are. Our sins are forgiven, by grace we're saved through faith, and no one can boast. But once we're set on that path, once we're set on that new path, we have to work at that. We have to keep coming back to God for forgiveness. Keep coming back to God and say, how do I do this situation? How do I cope in this? We don't just accept Jesus and continue as we were. God expects us to work a bit harder on that, clean up our act. Remember the woman caught in adultery? The story is told in John 8, where Jesus said, He who is without sin can cast the first stone. And one by one people left, because they all knew that they were sinners too. The only person there that day without sin was Jesus. And he didn't cast the first stone, even though, according to the law, he could have done. Even though in his status and his standing, he had no sin, he could have done. He did not. What did he say? He said to her, "Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, Lord." And this is the point that he said these beautiful words. "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go, sin no more." Notice he didn't say, "I don't condemn you. We all sin. It's totally fine. Don't worry about it. Just carry on." He didn't say that, did he? He said, "Go." In some versions, "Leave your life of sin. I don't condemn you. Go. Live differently. Live differently." And when you're part of the family of God, when you're God's child, there is an expectation that you won't stay as you were. You become more like the Heavenly Father. You become more Christ-like. We sometimes talk about it like that. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, so we're going to have the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As it says in 1 John 2:29, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness, who does what's right, is born of him." And later in John 3:3, "Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure." So the way I see it, is that we get to reflect the Father to the world, to show them that there is another way to live, the kingdom of God way. And we abide in the Father's love and in relationship with him. And we are supposed to become increasingly similar to God as we walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's like a family resemblance, if you like. Now, we all look for family resemblances in our human families, don't we? When Nathan was born, everyone was like, "Oh, he's got Dave's eyes." When Lillian was born, they were like, "Oh, she's got your forehead." Don't even know what that means. "She's got my forehead. Oh, lucky girl." And we look for it ourselves, don't we? I mean, if my mum walked in here right now, you would all know she's my mum. And if Dave's dad walked in here right now, you'd be like, "Whoa, it's Dave's dad." Unbelievable family resemblances. And it's kind of, it's our identity in our family. It's how it's designed to be. It's how we're designed to be. That we have these family groups and we look similar to each other. I remember, sorry Lillian, it's not a story about you. I remember when we went to my parents' house and Lillian would have been about 8. And we went to stay and she went into this room we wouldn't normally go into, really. And there were some pictures up on the wall, some old faded photos. And she looked through the photos and she saw this young girl. And she went, "Mum, I don't remember wearing that dress." I had a little look. "Oh, that green dress, bright green dress, with bright pink printed flowers all over it, was a favourite of mine in the 80s. And she thought it was her in the photo. Because at the age of 8, she looked just like me at the age of 8. Incredible. It was incredible. And these family resemblances, well, it's normal, isn't it? We reflect our parents, we reflect their looks, we reflect their mannerisms, we reflect their attitudes, their interests. And that's how it should be with our Heavenly Father. We should reflect his interests. We should reflect him, his holiness, his mannerisms, his purity, his righteousness. Our attitudes should be his attitudes. We should be about the Father's business, interested in what interests him. Our hearts should be broken with what breaks his heart. And we should be rejoicing in what he finds joy in. Hopefully you can see that your life has transformed through knowing Christ as you reflect him. But it's really easy to let little sins creep in our lives. has given us everything we need for life and godliness if we can just pick up the tools that he's given us and have the will and the discipline to dig the weeds, the impurities, the sins out of our lives. And sadly, many people, including some Christians, are more in love with the world and with worldly things than with God and godly things. And we see this everywhere. The world we're living in is getting darker and darker. It says in 1 John 3:1 that the world does not know us because it did not know him. It did not recognise Jesus as the Messiah, the promised one, the Saviour. And many people won't understand us as God's precious children. Going to be misunderstood. We are. It tells us that in the Bible. But it's okay, because we've been called to be in the world, but not of the world. We're called to live differently as God's chosen children, as his precious people. And we also take heart because we know that Jesus has overcome the world. This is not it. This is not our forever home. This is not how it's going to be forever. At least not how it is that we see it right now. It's going to be transformed. We know that Jesus is coming back for his bride. And as the children of God, we have confidence in his return. And so we need to prepare. We need to prepare for his return. We need to be preparing ourselves and being watchful and waitful, waiting for him and keeping an eye out for him. And so maybe today, as I've been speaking, you've been thinking about something, that a little niggle that you've been trying to avoid noticing, something you're thinking, oh, actually, yeah, that is a bit of a problem in my life. Or maybe there's something you definitely know you're not following God the way you should. Definitely not in the purity and righteousness category. And forgiveness is available. Forgiveness is always available. Come to God. A fresh start is possible. Jesus can say to you, I don't condemn you either. Now go and leave your life of sin. If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. So if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us because of what Jesus did on the cross. And there's power in confession and repentance, deliberately turning from our sin to walk in the other direction. You can live free from these things. And if you'd like to be prayed for about something at the end of the service, then please, again, come and talk to somebody at the end. Get prayer for these things. You don't have to walk through these things on your own. We're the family of God. And we're here for each other. God is our Heavenly Father. He's a good, good Father, and he has incredible love, full of love for his children. And as we abide and walk with him, we set aside time for him every day, we listen to him and we read his word, we will find that we will reflect his glory. We will take on the family resemblance, his righteousness, his purity, but it does take practice and discipline. So when we next face a difficult trial, rather than thinking, oh God, why is this happening to me? Try asking, oh, is this an opportunity to practice righteousness? Is this a time that I can practice righteousness? I'm not going to do it how I used to do it. Let's think and see if there's another way, a better way, a godly way in this situation. And then we will become increasingly confident as his children, knowing who we are in God and who he is to us. There are so many voices out there telling us who we are and what we should do and why we should do it, what you actually are, and that's what you're not, and that's what you are, and you have to choose what you are, and all these different things. Actually, we need to be just tuning into the one heavenly voice, the one that matters. And he says, you are his beloved child. We've got one final song, which I don't think we've got words for, but it's got a very, very simple chorus. It's called, not that one. It's called I Am. Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And if you wish to join in, you can. If you want to just listen to the words as I sing them over you. But please consider as I sing this, where are you with knowing and loving the Father? Where are you with how you see Father God? Has your earthly father or other male role models, your experiences coloured how you see him as Father and prevented you from getting really close to God? And please consider as well if there's anything that needs to be kind of rooted out of your life, bring to God.